This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Mick Wetmore.
Yes?
The Legends of Tomorrow are going to be at C2E2.
Oh, God.
Dominic Purcell, Brandon Ruth, and Katie Lotz. Oh, my God. This is going to be awesome.
Who's Katie Lotz?
She plays White Canary.
Oh, God, the worst actor.
Are you serious right now?
Oh, she's terrible.
Have you seen those GIFs?
Hey, that is fantastic. That is not acting.
Okay.
Terrible. Terrible.
How can you say that?
Oof. Ooga.
Why, Nick? Why do you hate comic book television shows? Explain this to me.
Why are you going to put this on DC Absolute?
Oh, dude, I'm already recording. What, are you serious? Welcome to the Absolute DC Podcast.
Invasion.
Oh, my God. Dude, no, that was last year. This year is Crisis on Earth X.
Oh.
Get it right. Come on, don't you watch? How are you going to be on a DC show and not know about DC stuff?
Hey, if Roddy Baron doesn't have to watch Supergirl being on a DC-centric podcast, and then they go on and talk about all these other Marvel shows and Image products, I can come on here and bust a nut every once in a while.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley.
No, we're not. That's not DC-related. Listen.
That was on my Google Doc.
Unlike Ronnie and Aaron, we're going to talk DC stuff tonight, okay? I just heard their latest episode. I think they talked about Image for 45 minutes.
Yes, they did.
What do you think?
It was fascinating.
What do you think they are, the Valiant Central Podcast? They can't do that.
Yeah, what's up with that?
What's up with that?
I don't know. Rein those boys in.
I can't believe it. You don't watch Legends of Tomorrow?
No. Haven't seen 1 minute of it.
Are you serious?
And I like Brandon Ralph. Yeah.
Oh, my God, Nick. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10.
Okay, 1 being what?
1 being Donald Trump's hair.
Ooh, okay.
And 10 being, let me think about something that you love.
Joyce DeWitt.
Mom shorts.
Oh, I do love mom shorts. Yes.
All right.
Okay. Ask away.
Legends of Tomorrow is like mom shorts plus 1.
Oh, no. Now I have to watch it. I like the concept of it.
Dude, you really need to watch it. It's so much fun. I can't believe you've never seen it.
Buddy, you know how many shows I haven't watched yet?
I know.
Come on.
But
now.
Dude.
What?
Legends. I talk about it all the time.
It does look good. Every time I see a still frame of it, man, does it look good. Seeing some of those heroes and villains. Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. All right. It's not the best show. Let me preface with that. That's probably a bad way to preface something.
Yeah, you're not selling me on that one.
It's probably a terrible way to preface it. It's not the greatest show. However, if you were to take like a Silver Age comic and turn it into a TV show, it would be Legends. Okay. It would be Legends of Tomorrow.
It would be Challengers of the Unknown.
It would be Legends of Tomorrow. Same number of syllables.
Ah.
No, I'm being dead serious. Like it's not the best written show. It's not the it doesn't make the most sense.
So it's not The Shield, the best show on TV.
You mean Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, duh, no.
Oh, wait. This is a DC podcast.
Not a Marvel
podcast.
Get out of here.
But listen, Ronnie hates the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's wrong.
We are not talking.
He's wrong.
Talk.
Listen,
Marvel,
no, I just got to say this. I got to get this off my chest.
You get over to the Ultimate Marvel podcast with these shenanigans.
Shenanigans!
I'm reeling it back in. Martino back in.
What?
Come on back to C.
The one time you reel anything in has to be that.
Yes, is on the DC podcast, of course. We're going to keep it. We're going to keep it tight and bright.
All right, fine. Here's the thing. So, like I said, not the best written show, whatever. But it is, by far, one of the most fun shows of any of the comic TV shows.
Okay, can I ask you one question, and I need a compare? It's a comparison question.
Okay, this or that?
No, comparison.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to give you the examples like I would on this and that, this or that.
Mm.
Okay. this show, what Muppet would this show be? It's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Because it ain't Kermit.
No, it's Kermit, definitely not Kermit.
Kermit's the reboot, so it ain't Kermit.
No, it's definitely not Kermit. It might be, what's his name? Monster? Wasn't that his name?
Animal?
Animal.
It's wild and crazy like that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, all right. I might have to give this a go.
Legends is Animal.
I don't expect this show to be Shakespeare.
Oh, not even close.
I need to find time to watch it, because conceptually, I like every time somebody writes anything about it, tweets anything, says anything on social media about it, it sounds just like the crazy train of concepts. Mm-hmm. It sounds like people in the 60s when somebody would give you like, hey, did you watch the latest episode of Star Trek? Yeah, this is what happened. And that person would just be like, what are you even talking about? But I like that. It reminded me of, like, you know, Quantum Leap or something. Just like, where did they
Dude, that's a great comparison, actually.
Yeah.
Legends is the Quantum Leap of superhero TV shows.
Mm, see, that's where I would have went Gonzo.
Oh, Gonzo. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, correct answer.
I don't know. I still like Animal.
I do like Animal too.
Yeah. Here's the thing: the cast is actually really good. Some of the characters, like, dude, why you gotta hate?
So terrible.
Are you serious right now?
Oh my god! For the amount of love that I have for Brandon, I have just the same ew for her.
All right, explain to me what you love of. Wait, you haven't seen the show, so you haven't seen Brandon in this show.
Both of them were on Arrow.
Okay, so you're basing it on Arrow.
I'm basing it on the characters that started in Arrow.
Sure. All right. Even though technically it's the same characters.
And Arrow is Fozzie. Terrible.
I was going to say Arrow is Miss Piggy, but okay.
Ah, all right. That's the correct answer. All right. You Trump-haired me on that one.
All right. So even though it's the same characters in name and the same actors in name, I gotta say, dude, like, I think what Legends has done for both of those characters is very much different from the portrayals that we had for both of those characters in Arrow. So I get what you're saying. You're judging on that. But they've evolved quite a bit since that TV show. White Canary she's become very strong, very powerful. I don't want to say wise, because she makes very dumb decisions sometimes. But she is very much a leader, and when she messes up, she takes she takes the brunt of the mistake on to herself, because she's the team leader.
Okay.
In particular, in season two, not someone in season one because they had a leader. Season two, she becomes the leader. In terms of Brandon Ruth's character, he was always kind of jokey, but they've kind of made him the comedic relief of Legends of Tomorrow. And
he was that way on Arrow.
Sure. But here's the thing. They went a little more slapstick with him in the first season. And I think some of that's been remedied with season two of Legends, where he still does the slapstick, but when he does it, it's like a cool comic book thing, right? So like in the Crisis on Earth X crossover with all the CW shows, there's a scene, like, he doesn't show up till almost the end of it. And when he shows up, like, he's like a little tiny guy, and he's stopping this scalpel from going into Supergirl's heart. And all of a sudden he, like, gets bigger, right? So he can stop that. And then there's like a hallway fight scene where, you know, he's always done the shrinking thing, but now he can do the growing thing. And so there's a scene where he's like fighting this alien thing, and he like creates his, he makes his hand giant. Oh, you know what? He might be fighting a Nazi. He makes a giant hand and like pimp slaps the Nazi in the hallway. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's still funny, but
Are you sure you didn't just mash up Foo Fighters Everlong video with Legends of Tomorrow?
You know what? That's so funny.
I swear that happened in that video.
You know what's funny? We just watched that video because they were on Saturday Night Live last week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a musical guest. So we watched that. Yep. And what was the other big song that they had?
They had plenty of big songs.
No, I know, but there was the one,
Foo Fighters.
The one where they make fun of the Mentos commercials.
What was it? Big.
Yes. Big Kurt,
big
yes. Chill,
yes. Big. Yeah.
That one. Big something.
Right.
Big Me. That's it.
Did they do a Mentos takeoff in Legends of Tomorrow?
No, but they need to.
Okay.
They need to.
I think now Legends is losing Dominic Purcell, right?
No, he's still there. Okay. It's the other guy, Captain Cold.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, I gotta make sure.
Which is not a big a deal. Like, he wasn't in the season. The only time he showed up was in the crossover episodes.
Oh.
Where he played the gay Captain Cold. He was the Ray's boyfriend.
Mm.
Which was, okay. It was awesome to see the Ray, dude.
But yeah, of course. The Ray.
The Ray's one of my favorites. But Legends is freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. I know that Aaron hates it. But here's the thing, dude. Like, Aaron hates great things. He does. He hates great things. He also loves some great things. So I don't know if that's fair. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, he passed. He was the deciding vote on whether or not to pick up Supergirl from episode one and start and catch up. He was the one. He was the deciding vote. And I appreciate him for doing that.
Which I don't get that. I don't understand why Ronnie's so much against Supergirl.
He doesn't like girls.
Is that what it is? He hates women?
It's a He-Man's Woman-Haters Club.
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't get that. I think the show was fine when it was on CBS. I think when it moved to CW, I think it got better.
I think Ronnie needs to, he needs to break out like a Supergirl, like 10-minute chunk at the end, just to like fill us in where he's at. I know he's going to have a couple, like at least a week vacation. So, I mean, he should be able to bust that out.
He should catch up on the entire thing.
He reads 300 comic books a day. He has like 50 long boxes he has to go through, but I'm sure he can fit that in.
You know what? If I can do the Batman challenge, he can do the Supergirl challenge.
Yeah. I mean, hashtag Supergirl challenge.
Oh, is that the episode title?
Hey, I've been throwing out that hashtag to him for a couple weeks. Should we start an old-fashioned Nerdy Legion letter writing campaign?
We should.
All right, let's do this.
Dear
let's
Martha.
Make it happen.
Ronnie had me a little upset today because apparently Ronnie hates Grant Morrison's Batman.
What?
That's what he said. That's what he said.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, yeah. What? I'll have even to see.
Even Batman Incorporated, Batman and Robin, like all of the offshoots? Or just Batman proper?
Let me read you a quote.
Did he hate? See, now I'm going through the Rolodex. There's no way he hated the 2-issue Legend of the Dark Knight Gothic by Grant Morrison. No way.
Let me read you this quote.
Because
you know the new TV show's out, Happy, which is Grant Morrison and Derek Robertson, and it's on Sci-Fi. I know you haven't seen it. I saw the first two episodes. I loved it.
I am going to reel you back in second time in one episode, Martino.
Wait, did you watch it?
That is not a DC proper thing. So
all right, fine.
Hyper focus.
No, it's not, but it relates to this.
Nope. Okay.
Because it's a Grant Morrison thing. So follow along. All right. So somebody posted about Happy, and I said, I've been enjoying that show. And Ronnie says, and I quote, "Who's Grant Morrison? Oh, yes. The boring, outlandish run on Batman Morrison."
Wow.
And I said,
wow.
I had to disown Ronnie tonight. I did.
Yeah, you better put him in a corner.
He said, some Morrison I do like, Happy being one of them. Batman, Batman and Robin. Batman RIP, not so much. My answer, you are effing crazy.
Wow.
I don't know what it is. You know what? Maybe we should do a Morrison challenge with Ronnie.
No, let him get over the Supergirl just yet.
So you want Supergirl first?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. But after Supergirl challenge, it's got to be the Morrison challenge.
Wow.
And I will read it along with him. I loved everything that Morrison did with the Batman properties.
Yeah, a lot of it was fun.
It was awesome, dude. Like, it wasn't what we were seeing. There was new stuff brought in that was kind of a nod to previous stuff. Right, so he brought Mike. Well, yes. There's look, You know I'm not a big Matt Knight fan.
Okay? Oh, I know.
So there's that. I do like him better than Mixleplick, so yeah.
Not by much.
Not by much. But he brought us Damian Wayne, which mm-hmm. I love Damian Wayne. I know a lot of people hate Damian Wayne with a passion.
I have Damian Wayne statue right upstairs.
Oh, see, that's why you're my favorite. Maybe you should be my heir.
Yeah, ooh. Heir of what?
You get all my Bitcoin.
Okay, I'll take that. I don't want your physical comment. I have way too many as it is. No, thank you.
But, yeah, like, the whole thing with Damian was awesome. And that brought in so many interesting things, you know? Like, when mm-hmm. Bruce went away and Dick was Batman, and you had that whole relationship between, like, the what would he... It wouldn't be, like, foster son. What would be, like... I don't know. There's got to be something more, like, what Dick is.
It was a stepbrother.
Yeah, it was stepbrother, but it was it became more than that, right? Because like Dick is for a lot of people like the true heir to Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But then like here comes Damian, who is actually
legal heir.
Yeah, the legal heir, and he's kind of a dicky kid. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And that whole thing was freaking awesome, right? Like Batman and Robin is one of the best things ever.
And I do not want the Baron to do a 180 when he hears this podcast and say, no, I liked when Dick was Batman. No, Dick was Batman. If you didn't like Morrison's Batman, then that's part of it too.
Absolutely, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
He said,
that was a darn good Batman.
Let me quote again. Batman, RIP, not so much.
Maybe he just didn't like RIP. Just the standalone, whatever it is, 8 issues.
Yeah, but that's what makes Dick Batman.
I know. I don't get it. You're not arguing with me. I loved everything about that entire run, excluding just a few minor quibbles. And even the minor quibbles, you read them in one issue, and it's like, okay, we're done. Like, move on.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Like, I always liked Dick Grayson as a character. But like, mm-hmm. you know, the Martin loves Dick thing has become a joke because of I really love Dick Grayson.
Yep.
And I really started to love Dick Grayson because of Batman RIP.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like he was an awesome character before that, don't get me wrong. But I think what Morrison did with him in RIP was really great because there's been other characters that have taken over the Batman mantle, but none of them were even close to what Bruce was as Batman outside of Dick.
How many times have we discussed either on a podcast or privately how, and I've never wavered that I just wish they would have left Dick as Batman.
Mm.
He was so, so good. Mm-hmm. And that was all on Morrison because it was a completely different voice than Bruce. And it stayed that way.
Well, and that's the thing, though, right?
Like an older brother scolding a younger brother.
Yes.
And Damian was not looking at it like an older brother. So good.
Well, here's the thing: like, if they had kept Morrison on as the writer of the books, then that might have stuck around, right? Like, yeah. if he had written the book for like 10 years, it probably would have stuck around.
Oh, he would have made it canon, for sure.
Absolutely. But the thing is, like, it wasn't... I mean, he had a pretty lengthy run, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like, I don't feel like... I don't think DC had enough balls to run with it, right? Because it's always safe to have Bruce just be Batman. But,
yeah, and I hate to say it, the fan base would have never allowed that to happen. And I'm sure for DC, they're just like, whoever's underneath that... cares. It doesn't matter who it is to them. That's their they'll get used to it.
But the thing is, like, for me,
people flipped out.
Oh yeah. But the thing is, for me, like, I love Bruce. Don't get me wrong, I love Bruce.
Same here.
The whole thing that like Morrison did. Did you ever read what was the name of that book? When
Morrison book?
Yeah, when Bruce quote unquote died, right?
Yes.
Because he got, like, shot by that apocalypse bullet or whatever it was. That
time bullet.
Yeah, the little time bullet. And there was that miniseries. I think it was,
where
like...
Where they went in search of Bruce Wayne?
No, it was... No, nobody searched for him. It was, like, a miniseries about Bruce Wayne, like, traveling through time.
Yeah, traveling through time.
What was that called?
He was he was like a caveman.
Yes, that's the one. Yes. Yeah. God, it was awesome. But think about it, like, who else but Grant Morrison would have the balls to do something like that?
People lost it. They were like, Batman pirate? What?
I loved it!
Where both of us were like, this is like an Elseworlds tale.
Yes!
Guys, like, this is what we want!
Well, and it was Elseworlds, but in canon!
Yeah. Crazy.
Right? And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. I think people that don't like that run don't understand what Grant Morrison was doing for the Batman franchise.
He was, if you want somebody to be so crazy about canon, that was Morrison. Whether you liked his approach to the canon or not, everything he did was canon.
Totally canon.
And you talk to him or read an interview, that's all. He was dead serious with canon.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted to approach characters that might not have seen the light of day for 3 decades.
Right.
But his concept for that character was very modern.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything was very modern. But also, you're talking to a guy who just still to this day loves any of the, like, year later books that came out, especially the James Robinson Two-Face?
Yeah.
That was such a great thing, but it also, you were dealing with the mystery of 1 year later, where Morrison was dealing with the mystery of, well, what would happen to Batman if all of a sudden he was on a pirate boat?
It would be awesome is what would happen.
Mm-hmm. And it was.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand it, man. And you know what I wonder, though? The interesting
thing is... Batman Incorporated, dude.
Well, yeah, there was Batman Inc., which...
God darn it, that was good.
When they first started setting that up, I think it was really good. I think once Batman Inc., because I think it came out and then it was canceled and it came back.
Yep.
And the second time it came back, it didn't work for me as well as the first time.
No, it didn't at all.
But it made sense. But the problem is, I think Batman Inc., I don't think it failed because it was too innovative. I think it failed, because it kind of narrowed down what DC could do with Batman. Because
when Morrison was talking about it, he was talking about it in grand operatic scale. Mm. And I think you got that in the first arc.
Yeah.
And then it was almost like there were too many editors in his ear, and it slowly started to narrow and narrow and narrow vision.
Yeah.
But where he was going at the beginning, or when if you read some of the interviews before it came out, he was really passionate about that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it could really go places. And some of the, like, designs were fantastic. But, good God, it just sort of pootered out at the end.
And you know what I wonder? I wonder, had it come at a different time, if it would have been different, right? So think about, like, what was the Batman, the Superman, the one that he did?
Not year one.
Oh, goddamn.
I'm picturing the cover right now.
God, it's so good, because I read it recently for the first time, and I was like, what in the world did I just read? It was freaking awesome.
That series will still make me cry twice. Two separate
All-Star Superman.
Yeah, All-Star Superman.
All right, so...
Frank Quietly.
Yes. Oh, God, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So when I read All-Star Superman, there was just, like, crazy shit in that book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crazy shit in that book.
Like, every issue could be its own sci-fi movie or comic.
Absolutely. But even though there's that, it was still... They're all connected, right? Because once you start getting to the end of the story, you start seeing all the stuff that's popping up through the issues that is connected to the end of the story in some respect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did the classic, like, 2 to 3 things going throughout the entire series.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dude, and I mean, there's, like, crazy shit on there. Like, the stuff with Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, my gosh, that was so good.
So here's the thing. So, also Superman came out.
It brought back why I loved all the retro Jimmy Olsen. The Jimmy Olsen solo comic?
Uh-huh.
That, you could just tell Grant Morrison was in love with that comic book.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a great tribute. And he wrote, still to this day, I think one of the best Bizarro arcs in All-Star Superman. I loved his.
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, so beautiful.
I agree. God damn it. I need to order that Absolute. There's an Absolute All-Star. I might need to get that.
Ooh. I don't buy physical comics anymore, but that's tempting.
Yeah, but I think the Absolutes are kind of like, even if you go all digital, they're kind of worth it.
Oh, they are.
Plus, remember, this is the Absolute DC podcast.
That's true.
So we have to plug Absolutes. But yeah,
I've never gone wrong with any of the Absolutes that I've purchased where I've struck out or been disappointed with a few omnibuses that I've picked up.
Good call.
Where it's just like, darn it, you could have added so much more. Like, I know there's more material out there, but all you're giving me is the covers. Like, come on. Where Absolutes are like, man, if you like the extras on a DVD, oh, the Absolute editions are so fantastic.
So here's what I find interesting. So I think what Grant Morrison did for Batman, he did very well for Superman as well. Mm-hmm. But it almost feels like, and I think this is especially true going forward, because I think we might have talked about this a few months ago. I think we talked about like multiversity for a little bit. Mm-hmm. There was an arc in Action Comics recently that kind of hailed back to multiversity.
Where do you land on multiversity?
I freaking loved it.
Yeah, same here.
I loved it.
But when people come to me, and it's people that I completely respect, and they're like, oh no, that is just a confusing pile of garbage. I'm like, okay, I get your point. Like, I'm not gonna be able to change that opinion, and I totally understand that opinion.
Well, you know what? I tell those people that their face is garbage.
But it is a creative mind, like, making up their own rules in a sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when I look at, like, All-Star Superman, that Batman feels different. Because Batman, I think that was an open-ended, he could do whatever he wanted. He could take it wherever he wants. He pretty much had freedom, at least at the beginning of his run. Where I think All-Star Superman was like, here's 8 issues, go. And he just tried to cram in as much as he possibly could in those issues. But that's what made it special. Like, that's like, if he was on Action Comics, my guess is he wouldn't be worried about, this could be my last issue of Superman.
Well, so I'm not sure if I agree with you completely. Here's what I think. I think when they gave him All-Star Superman, Superman was at a point where nobody really gave a shit. I think that's pretty much true for Superman for the majority of his history, right?
I would say there's a few bumps.
No, absolutely, there's a few bumps. But I think for the most part, at least in terms of the comics, for the most part of Superman's history, nobody has really given a shit. Like the early Golden Age stuff was obviously important because it sets up DC. As a big publisher, Superman was doing really great for him. But then for a long time, it was kind of gone. And I would say that it's probably true to like the late 70s when the movies started coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it picked up steam again, but then it died. And there wasn't much else. There were what, like 3 movies, right? I would
say when Byrne came,
yes,
and did Man of Steel, that injected something into it. Of course, the death of Superman, that of course will inject, but that feels very false at that. Looking back at it, that seems like, let's drum up sales.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, no, and the death of Superman was exactly that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not a secret. I think DC's like admitted to that, right?
But I would say it took Geoff Johns taking over Superman.
Yep.
And bringing on Rucka and bringing on, like, there were 3 really good writers on Superman across all the titles, and they tied in a lot of the storylines together like they try to do with Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very successful for a couple of years.
Yep.
And it was a lot of fun. And that's really the thing that charged me into, oh, I want to read Superman beyond like Justice League of America.
But see, but that all died off, right? Because when...
Oh, yeah, it died off quick.
Well, like, yeah, it was very quick. And then New 52 was out. And like, that was kind of, it was kind of garbage, to be honest. Now, with Rebirth, I think Superman has gotten really interesting. The Superman proper title is good, but I think Action is the better title of the two. And the reason I feel that way is because, I mean, to be honest, because it's tied in some of the stuff that Grant Morrison was doing in All-Star Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Into current continuity.
I hope you're going to go Super Sons.
Yeah. Well, obviously Super Sons.
Yeah.
But many other things. I mean, we already talked about multiversity and all that stuff. But, like, that stuff was really interesting. And then right after that, we start getting the Mr. Oz stuff and the tie-ins to Watchmen, which I don't... The current arc hasn't been the best, but there's still interesting stuff in it. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that now we have Doomsday Clock, where Superman's a big part of that, and it just so happens to be around the time of the Death of Superman chronologically, is really interesting to me. But what that tells me, Nick, to be frank, and to bring it back to Grant Morrison is, Grant Morrison, I feel in terms of comics, is in many respects way ahead of his time when he's making a particular story. And I think that shows with the Superman stuff that's now being kind of resurfaced a little bit. And I think the same goes for the Batman stuff. And unfortunately, I feel like his Batman stuff gets buried because I don't feel like there's enough people that want that character to move forward. Right. And I know some people feel like what Tom King is doing is moving that character forward. And in some respects, that is true for me. But I think what Grant Morrison was doing is above and beyond what anybody else has done with Batman since Grant Morrison was doing it.
I think it's almost he is holding the Johnny Carson Karnak envelope up to his head and predicting what's going to happen in the future. Not even predicting, like, this is where I want to take this character. And guess what? This is what I'm going to do to take him here. This has to happen. Sorry. And he's very blunt about it. And I sort of like that. He's almost like a gunslinger. He's just like, this is what I want to happen. And this is what I'm going to do because DC said I can do this. So, you know, fans be damned. Hope you join me. But he doesn't care. You think everyone loved Batmite? You think everybody loved, like, Batman going a little crazy? Be sure everyone didn't. But he sort of has to go through that. And at the end of the day, I sort of liked how that wrapped up. And at the end of the day, I sort of liked how Batman and Robin wrapped up.
Yes.
Like, he has there's a purpose to his, you might not like it all the time, but he, at least he has a vision for where he wants to take that character. And I'm sure Grant Morrison's not dumb. He knows, when I leave this book, I sort of have to put him back to the way he was. But up until then, this is where I'm taking him.
We should start a petition. We should petition for somebody to petition DC to petition Grant Morrison to write a Batman book.
Yes. Now, can I ask a question before we sign off? Because I know we won't make this a short episode.
Yes.
But Mr. Ronnie Barron brought something up in a previous Absolute DC podcast episode. In regards to you, Martin Freddy, at Geekvine on the Twitters, how is it that my favorite DC event, Mr. Martin Freddy, never read? And that is 52.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
And here's the caveat. We've talked about it on the Comfy Couch on our podcast, Nerdy Legion. I brought this up two or three times that I was planning on reading this. And did a Mr. Martin Freddy ever mention, or did I have a stroke and I missed it on our podcast? No! Do I have to hear it from the Baron? Yes! How the hell does this happen?
So there's a reason.
Where were you that year? Was this year 1 year later?
No, there's a very valid reason. I don't read weekly comics.
Oh my god, are you freaking kidding?
I'm dead serious.
I almost dropped my iPad on the floor.
No, I don't read weekly comics.
Infinite Crisis you didn't read?
Not while it was coming out.
Jeez.
I mean, I've read it since then a couple times, but I didn't read it when it was coming out.
Not 52.
Dude, I didn't even read Batman Eternal when it was coming out.
Yeah, but...
I didn't read Batman and Robin Eternal when it was coming out. I waited till it was over.
There's a big difference.
Yeah,
this
difference
is a great event.
The difference is it's a Batman book, and I would be reading it. And I didn't because it was weekly. No, and that's the reason. I'm being dead serious. I don't read weekly books.
You know what that means?
Yes.
For you and your Twitter timeline,
oh,
Geekvine.
Do tell.
Hashtag 52 challenge. Let's go!
So I haven't started it yet. I will be starting it this Saturday. Because yeah. I wanted to get like pretty far into the Batman challenge before I started that.
Lordy.
Because I don't know if you've heard, but Paul and I will be doing the Sandman challenge.
Oh my gosh. Woof.
Mm-hmm. So
that's gonna be some reading.
Yes, it is.
You gotta put your big boy pants on that one.
We'll be podcasting about it too.
Holy guacamole.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss a lot of your current reading done, because those comics, unlike these modern comics that we read today, Sandman possibly could take 3 times as long to finish those issues.
Indeed. And here's the thing, though. I'm glad he is joining on this quest, because if you remember, I bought a full run, what was it, like a year and a half ago?
Yes, you did.
And I haven't even opened those books. Like, they're still in the bags.
Oh, that's going to be great. It's always great to go back. Because you read... Hey, now that I know you haven't read 52, now I have to ask this of everything. You've read Sandman before.
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, that should be a response to 52, but anywho. with Sandman...
Sandman was not weekly.
That is something that you can always go back to.
Absolutely. It's like Starman.
And yeah, it's one of those, like, it's better to read the entire run front to back. But really, if you just have, like, oh, I'm sort of in the mood to reread Doll's House, you could pick that up and, like, the puzzle pieces click in, like, oh, here, this was leading up to Doll House. And that arc is so fantastic. Just mm-hmm. to, like, sit down and just pump out one arc. So that's exciting for you.
Yeah, and it's DC related.
I know. Hey, I didn't poo-poo that because it is DC related. Yes.
Yes, we did it.
We kept on track this entire episode. It was great, but we hijacked absolute DC, and I feel very bad about it, but they'll be back, in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, they'll be back next week.
Yeah, so no worries.
Don't worry, they'll be back. But I gotta say, we might have been better because Nick... I don't know if you've heard, but we do the flagship.
the number 12 rated podcast on the Nerdy Legion Network.
The number 2 most listened to podcast on the Nerdy Legion Network.
Number 2.
Yes, number 2.
A big old number 2.
Anyways, thanks for tuning in to this special holiday episode of the Absolute DC Podcast. I've been Martin. You can find me on Twitter at Geekvine. He has been Nick. He is at Nick Wetmore on the Twitter machine. And of course, you can find Aaron at Aaron S. Bell. You can find Ronnie at Rombar316. This show is at DC_Absolute. And you can find Nick and I at Nerd Legion. Enjoy it. Have a great holiday week.